Could you imagine in your mind someone leaving some children and telling them to go about their business and to honor him and to do his will? And then over the time that had been gone since he had left them, they had forgot his commands. They had forgot, and not only forgotten, but they had begun to corrupt. And they had begun to change. And they had begun to make up their own rules and do things their own way. Could you imagine, if you will, the sadness in his heart when he realized the corruption and the pollution of his will that had taken place? And could you imagine that he knew in his heart from the beginning that he was going to go to them, and when he got to them to help them and to give them the help that they need, that they were going to reject him? Could you imagine that he knew very well that they would spit upon him, that he knew that when he came unto them that they would pluck out the brow of his face, that he knew that they would beat him, and he knew that they would whip him, and he knew that they would crucify him, and he knew that they would laugh at him, and he knew that they would mock him, and he knew that they would crucify him and rail upon him? But yet the Bible says he came still. I'm glad he came. And can I say that when Jesus came, he didn't come halfway, good friend. He came all the way, amen. He left heaven's realms of glory, and he came down to the halls of man, and he was born in a barnyard, if you want to call it that, and he was laid in a lowly manger. Hey, the Savior of all mankind, the God of heaven, humbled himself, emptied himself, and laid his own self down in a lowly manger, a place where the animals would feed. He was wrapped in swaddling clothes, the Bible said, and laid in a manger, and there he laid some over 2,000 years ago. But I want to remind you this morning that he didn't just come, and he didn't just go to a manger, amen. But I want to say that when he came, he didn't just come to be born of a virgin, but when he came and was born of a virgin, he came with a mission in mind. He came with a purpose that was planned. And Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, that when he was born and he was laid in a manger, his mission ultimately was to go to a cross on a hill called Calvary. And Jesus Christ, the Bible said, he knew they would spit upon him. He knew they would reject him. But yet he came. Thank God. This morning Jesus came. And with God's help this morning, I want to preach on that thought. He came. He came. In John chapter number 1, if you used to read with me in verse number 1, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him, and I cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, help us this morning. Amen. And amen. I'm glad Jesus came. The Bible says here in verse number 11 that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Here in the Gospel of John, John begins, he just flat out says that in the beginning was the Word. You understand that Jesus was not a created being. You need to understand that. That's a fundamental truth to the belief that we believe. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was not a created being. He was a begotten being, amen. Jesus was always God, amen. But in what we call the incarnation, God wrapped himself in the body of a human being, wrapped himself in flesh, and was born of a virgin. The Bible said that Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. I was thinking about some things about when he came. I'm talking about that first, what we call Christmas morning, that first year that he was born. I'm talking about that very time. Hey, there's some great things concerning the incarnation of Christ. There's some great things that we can look at this morning of how when Jesus Christ came to this earth and was born of a virgin, wrapped in flesh, amen. I'm talking about God became flesh. That ought to blow your razzle-dazzle mind that God became flesh. Amen. I'm talking about 100% God. Hey, 100% perfect man. Right. Wrapped in wood. Not 50-50. Not 60-40. But 100-100. God 100%. Yet he became 100% perfect man. So that he could save you and I. He came. I'm glad he came this morning. I want to say, give you a few great truths this morning concerning the incarnation of Christ. And how they affect us today. Number one, I want to say this. When Jesus came to this earth, hey, let me say number one, it was the greatest mission that was ever planned. Yeah. When Jesus Christ wrapped himself in flesh and came to this earth, Brother Dennis, it was the greatest mission that was ever planned. I was thinking yesterday in my study, as I was studying and praying, I was thinking about different missions throughout history. I was thinking about, you know, Christopher Columbus and the mission that he set forth to find the Americas, and when he left Spain, and Christopher Columbus and the planning that he had and the research that he done, and all the things that he had put into his use to prepare for his mission to come and to find, the Americas, and the great detail that must have been planned for that trip. Think about Lewis and Clark, the great adventurers who were just paramount in their use of the planning system and the adventurous system, if you will, that they prepared and they paved the way across the United States. Lewis and Clark, they founded many of the pathways which we know today across this land. Hey, what about Daniel Boone? Everybody knows about Daniel Boone, amen, and the Wilderness Trail. Listen, preparing the way, making plans, preparing for missions. Think about NASA. Think about NASA. Hey, listen, back in the 60s when they prepared and they sent the first men to the moon. Hey, was that not a great mission? Amen. Hey, well, listen, hey, great mission. We can look and just blow our mind that, man, they come up with a way to send a rocket, a spaceship, through the Earth's atmosphere into outer space, and for men to land on the moon, and not only to land there, but to get out and walk. But I want to say that, listen, greater than Columbus's mission, greater than any adventure Lewis and Clark ever went on, any NASA mission was the mission of Jesus Christ, amen, God's only Son, amen, coming to this earth, hallelujah, and becoming like you and I, yeah, so you and I could one day become like him. I'm talking about a great mission. I want to say something about when he came. Can I say this? The great mission of when he came. You say, what about when he came? I want to say this. Galatians 4:4 said, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. Jesus came at just the right time. Jesus came at the very perfect time in history, which it would be, for him to come. Listen, it was no accident when he came. There had been 400 years of silence. The world was now in darkness here. According to verse number 5, the Bible said, then the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse number 7 says the same, talking about Jesus, or John the Baptist said the same, came for a witness, to bear witness of the light. That capital light is Jesus, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light, Jesus. Hey, that was the true light, Jesus, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Hey, let me say to you this morning that when Jesus came, listen, the world was in spiritual darkness. Religion, the crowd was messed up. Men were sold into sin. Hey, it was a spiritually dark time when God sent the light, amen. Hey, God sent the light. He sent Jesus Christ, the light that lighteth every man into the world. Hey, to spread the light, to show the light, to reveal to man their problem, to reveal to man, hey, that they needed to be saved, and not only to show them a need, but to show them that Jesus was the way, he is the truth, and he is the light. Hey, God sent the light just at the right time when he came. Say something about where he came. We could talk about Bethlehem and how it was prophesied. There was going to be a rod of Jesse, and he was going to be born. Micah 5:2 told us in Bethlehem. Matthew 2:5-6 tells us that he was born in Bethlehem. The house of bread, we could talk about Hey, listen, how important it could have been for him to be born in Bethlehem. But here in verse number 11, the Bible said that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Watch this. Jesus, when he came to a world that he created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Watch this. Verse 3, all things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. He came into a world in which he created. Hey, boys and girls, listen, I know it's Christmas, but let me help you out. And when you go to school, pass the test. But deep down in your heart, you know that when they start telling you millions and millions of years ago, the earth began to evolve. Put it in your heart. Hogwash. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. Jesus, listen. Jesus was at work in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Hey, listen, he came to a world that he created. But listen, he came to a world where he was unwanted. I said he came to a world where he was unwanted. He came to his own, meaning not only his own creation, but he came into his own people. He was born a Jew. He was born of the Israelite race. He's the son of David. And he was born in Bethlehem, the city of David. And he came into his own, and his own received him not. Not only did he create them, but they did not want him. He came to a world that was doomed and in darkness. We've talked about the darkness, but do you realize that without the Savior that was promised all the way back in Genesis 3:15, the seed of the woman that would come and that would bruise the head of the serpent, do you realize that without the seed of the woman, we're doomed? You realize without Jesus Christ, boys and girls, being born of a virgin and laid in a manger, we'd all go to a place called hell. He came to a world that didn't want him, but he came to a world that was doomed without him. He came to a world that hated him and sought to kill him. Even as a baby, Herod, listen, when he was a baby, newborn, Herod wanted to find out where he was. And when he couldn't find him, he just said, hey, all the babies that have been born that are less than 2 years old, kill them all. Sought to kill from his infant. But they didn't give up. The religious crowd, the haters, they sought to crucify him and later did crucify him. That's where he came. He didn't come to the goody-goody two-shoes that was loving him and looking for him and lauding him. He came to the ones that hated him. He came to those that were in need of him. He came to those that the Bible said received him not. Where he came. Let me say something about why he came. He came, ladies and gentlemen. Why he came? Why did he come, preacher? Well, Luke said in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad, listen, I'm glad he didn't just come on an adventure trip. I'm glad he didn't just come. Hey, listen, I'm glad he didn't just come carelessly and flippantly without a plan. Hey, listen, without a purpose. But I'm glad that when he came to this world, Paul said and over there, Timothy, he said over there in 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners of whom I am chief. He had a purpose, boys and girls. Listen, when Jesus was born, he wasn't just born so you could get presents on December 25th. When Jesus was born of a virgin, he came into this world to go to a cross and to die so that you could be saved. Why did he come, preacher? He came to seek and to save. He came, watch this, he came to show the love of God. He came to reveal to you and I the love of God. 1 John chapter number 4 in verse number 9 and 10. The Bible said, in this was manifested the love of God toward us. Because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus came to this earth to seek and to save. Jesus came to this earth to show you how much God loves you. God loves you. You say, how much did God love you? Someone said that they asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he spread out his arms and he said, this much. And he died. I'm telling you, when Jesus came to this earth, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, he did not just come to be born of a virgin and lay in a manger and to be a sweet little baby. But he came to this earth with a mission in mind. And he came to this earth, listen, destined with, like his, the Bible said, like had his face set like a flint to go to the cross of Calvary. There was no plan B's. There was no plan C's. There was plan A. Hey, from the halls of eternity past, hey, he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. It was destined. It was predestined. It was God ordained that Jesus Christ not only would be born, but hey, Tico, Jesus would go to a place called Calvary and die on the cross for your sins and for mine. I'm glad that he seeks and saves. I'm glad that he showed me the love. No greater love has any man than this, that a man lay down his life or his friends.
Hallelujah.
He came. The greatest mission ever planned. Watch this. The greatest message ever preached.
Sure.
You say, what's the greatest message ever preached? You could think, I heard this message. I heard this message. I heard. Here's the greatest message ever preached. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. As many as received. I'm telling you, religion says as many as clean up. Religion says as many as are turning over a new leaf. Religion says as many as keep our creed. Religion says as many as is on our list. Religion says as many as do what we say do. But God says as many as received him. Even to them that believe on his name. Can I say to you that salvation is not in a church?
Right.
Though, listen, the church is a great thing, and Jesus started the church. Salvation is not in the church. Salvation is not in a church covenant. Salvation is not in a church constitution. Salvation is not in a change of life. There's a lot of people that flip over a new leaf, but the next time the wind blows, down the road they go. For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You're not saved because you quit drinking. You're not saved because you quit cheating on your wife. You're not saved because you quit lying. You're not saved because you go to church. You're not saved because you put money in the plate. You're not saved because you changed your lifestyle. You're not saved because you wear a dress or because you got short hair. You're not, listen, all these things may be well and good in their place, but none of them bring about salvation. Salvation brings them about. Salvation is not in any of these. Salvation is not in a prayer. That'll bust your bubble. There's a lot of people think because they said a prayer, something like, dear God, I know I'm a sinner, and I believe, listen, salvation is not in a prayer. Though we may pray to receive Christ, salvation is not in saying a prayer. Listen to me, there's many people that have said a sinner's prayer, quote unquote, that are not saved. They'll wake up in hell one day.
Sure.
Salvation is not in a place. Salvation is not in a program. But salvation is in a person. And his name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
As many as receive, watch this, him. Him. Hey, even to as many as believe on his name. The greatest message has ever preached. There's people today, they're preaching be baptized. They're preaching do this. They're preaching do good works. They're preaching don't do this. They're preaching join this institution. They're preaching this. They're preaching a lot of man-made things religiously. And God says, but as many as received him. Amen. The greatest message is, hey, what? Hey, the Philippian jailer heard it. What must I do to be saved? The Apostle Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. The greatest message ever preached, hey, is that salvation is not in what you do, but salvation is what Jesus Christ has already done, and you just need to receive it and believe it. Some of y'all get saved if you can get over your religious good works. What you've done, how long you've been in the church, how much you've done, how much you've done. Listen, it ain't about what you do and don't do. It's about Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary. If you could earn your way in by doing what you do, pray tell me, why did Jesus Christ go to Calvary? I'll tell you why he went to Calvary. He went to Calvary because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He went to Calvary because, hey, listen, there's none righteous, no, not one. He went to Calvary and he died because God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Mm. The greatest message ever preached. Receive him, believe him. By grace through faith. Simple trust. Poet said, what shall I render to thee for the gifts of gifts? Thine own dear son, begotten, not created, my redeemer. Proxy, surety, substitute, his self-emptying, incomprehensible, his infinity of love beyond the heart's grasp. Herein is wonder of wonders. He came below to raise me above. He was born like me that I might one day become like him. Here in his love, when I cannot rise to him, he draws near on wings of grace to raise me to himself. Here in his power, when deity and humanity were infinitely apart, he united them in indissoluble unity. The uncreated and the created. Here in his wisdom, when I was undone, with no will to return to him, no intellect to devise recovery. He came, God incarnate, to save me to the uttermost, as man to die my death, to shed satisfying blood on my behalf, to work out a perfect righteousness for me. Oh God, take me in spirit to the watchful shepherds and enlarge my mind. Listen to this. Let me hear good tidings of great joy, and hearing, believe, rejoice, praise, adore. My conscience bathed in an ocean of repose. My eyes uplifted to a reconciled Father. Place me with ox, ass, camel, goat, to look with them upon my Redeemer's face, and in him account myself delivered from sin. Let me with Simeon clasp with the newborn child to my heart, embrace him with undying faith, exulting that he is mine and that I am his. In him thou hast given me so much that heaven can give no more. Salvation is in Jesus Christ. I'm glad he came. I'm glad, listen, for the greatest mission that was ever planned. I'm glad it's the greatest message that was ever preached. But ladies and gentlemen, it was the greatest miracle that was ever performed. The greatest miracle ever performed. You say, preacher, what's the greatest miracle? You can talk about his first miracle where he turned water into wine that was not even drunken in wine. You could talk about, hey, listen, how he walked on the water and how he broke a few loaves of fish, a few fishes and a few loaves of bread, and he fed 4,000 one time and did it again and fed 5,000 plus women and children. You could talk about how he gave blind Bartimaeus his sight. You could talk about how he raised up Jairus' daughter. You could talk about all the great miracles that he performed. You could talk about when he called Lazarus and said, Lazarus, come forth out of the grave. You could talk about a lot of great miracles that he performed on this earth. Raising the dead, healing the blind, healing the lame. I like that song says, but the greatest of all miracles was when Jesus saved. Here's the greatest miracle that was ever performed. Watch this. But as many as to believe them, watch this. To them, watch this, gave he the power to become the sons of God. He gave us, when you believe, when you trust, to them gave he the power, the authority, the right to become the sons of God. Verse 13 says it like this. which, watch this, speaking of those that are saved, that believe on his name. Verse 13 says, which were born, not of blood. In other words, it ain't about who you was born to physically, nor of the will of the flesh. It wasn't your desire and your determination, nor of the will of man, but of God. Salvation's of God. Like Jonah said from the belly of the whale in Jonah 2:9, salvation is of the Lord. Can I say it was God who calls us? It's God who calls us. It's God who gave us his word. Hey, listen, it's God who sends the Holy Spirit and convicts us. It's God who, when we believe, he converts us. It's God who changes us. Listen, I'm telling you, salvation is of the Lord. Listen, hey, when one calls on the name of the Lord, you say, preacher, I get saved, but I can't do this. Listen, you just trust Christ. He'll take care of the details. He done the calling. He does the convicting. He does the converting. He does the changing. It's the greatest miracle ever performed, that when God reaches into the graveyard of humanity and quickens us and brings us from spiritual death, spiritual darkness, and he quickens us and brings us into life, to walk in light. The greatest miracle ever performed is the regeneration of a lost soul, doomed and damned on their way to hell. But by the power of the Holy Ghost, God regenerates them and creates them a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. Thank God. Hey, I'm glad. Listen, I may not be what I ought to be. Amen. I'm not what I want to be, but I want to say thanks to the power of God. I'm not what I used to be. Hallelujah. He made a difference when Jesus passed by.
Amen.
He gives me a new name. Hey, man, when God regenerates, he gives me a new name.
Amen.
My new name is sanctified and holy. Amen. I'm now called the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hey, he gave me a different name. Hey, 2 Peter 1:4 said he's given me a divine nature.
Sure.
He's made us to be partakers of the divine nature. Thank God. Amen. 2 Peter 1:4. Hey, we have a different name. We have a divine nature. Listen to this. We have a definite newness. A definite, not a might be, not a ought to be, but a sure enough newness.
Amen.
Romans 6:4 talked about how we were buried with him, like as in Christ had died for us, we were buried with him. But he said, oh, hold on, we wasn't just buried with him, but he said we were raised with him to walk in newness of life. That's not talking about the waters of baptism. That's talking about spiritual baptism when someone trusts Christ. Hey, that the Holy Ghost baptizes you into the body of Christ, but it raises you again to walk in newness of life. He created you a new creature.
Right.
You're not what you ought. Hey, listen, you're not what you used to be.
Right.
There's a definite newness. Anybody that's been saved knows something changed. Listen, you may not know everything. You may not have all your doctrine down. You might not have all your theology. You might not have all the I's dotted and the T's crossed. But you know one thing, when Jesus came by, something changed. Something changed, boys and girls. Hey, Jesus, hey, when he comes by, something changes. Definite new. Hey, listen, watch this. A dear nearness. A dear nearness. Say, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about Proverbs 18:24. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Amen.
Hey, listen, I'm talking about when friends forsake you, when family, hey, cast you out. Hey, listen, when the church folk don't want nothing to do with you. Hey, listen, if you're his, hey, listen, there's a dear nearness because there's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother.
Hallelujah.
Hey, I'm talking about Hebrews 13:5, where he said, I will never leave thee. Don't forsake me. I'm talking about a dear nearest. I like that old song says, he's the dearest friend I ever had. Jesus, boys and girls, Jesus will be the best friend you can ever have. Mommy loves you. Mommy loves you. Daddy loves you. The preacher loves you. But they may all one day be gone, Kiko. But there's one. Listen. Verse 1. If you know him. Mom and daddy, if you know him. There's one that'll never leave you, never forsake you. And he's just as close as you'll ever want him. Dear nearness. Amen. The greatest miracle that was ever performed was when Jesus reaches down and takes a sinner and makes him a saint. But let me say this and I close. Not only was the greatest mission that was ever planned, not only is it the greatest message that was ever preached, not only is it the greatest miracle that was ever performed, but I see in this passage the greatest mistake that was ever practiced. The greatest mistake. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Look back in verse number 11. He said, he came into his own, but the next phrase says, speaking here literally of the nation of Israel, how they rejected the Messiah. They were looking for a king to come in on a big horse with a great army. They were looking for someone to overthrow Rome. But Jesus came in as a lowly servant, wrapped in flesh as a baby. He came in like a little lamb to be slain. And they didn't recognize him, and so they rejected him. He didn't suit what they wanted. He came to his own, and his own received him not. But I want to say to you, that this tragic mistake is being practiced today by multitudes. Jesus, listen, the Bible said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Whosoever? Preacher, does that mean everybody's saved? No, that means that whosoever believeth is going to be saved. But ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to look around and see that there are multitudes upon multitudes that are spitting in his face today. Sure. They are rejecting him today. Right. They want nothing to do with him today. Right. They don't want their life to change. They don't want nobody to be their Lord. They don't want nobody to tell them how they ought to live their life. They don't want anything to do with this word. They're rejecting him by the scores even today. You say, preacher, what happens when I make this mistake? Listen, there are people that come to this church almost on a weekly basis and admit to themselves and to God that they're lost. And they know it. And every week, they go out that door saying no. You say, preacher, I'm not making a decision. I'm not saying no. Every time you don't say yes, you're saying no. Sure. You're making a choice. And listen, every time you do, that heart gets a little bit harder.
That's it, preacher.
And it gets a little easier to say no the next time. And listen, there may come a day where you may walk in a church and the preacher gets up and preaches a message like this, and the Holy Spirit says, I'm not even going by their way today.
That's exactly right, preacher.
That ground's not fertile. That's hard ground.
Right.
They've turned me away. They've rejected me. Their heart's cold. Their heart's hard. And he may say, I'm done.
That's it. You're right.
You say, preacher, when they reject Christ, what are they doing? Well, number one, they're rejecting the greatest person that ever lived. The greatest person that ever lived, can I say, was not Ronald Reagan. It was not Thomas Edison. The greatest person that ever lived was Jesus Christ. Can I say, listen, he was not just a good man, he's the God man. He's not just Amen. But he's the mediator between God and man. The man, Christ Jesus. They are rejecting, when you say no to Christ, you are rejecting the greatest person that ever lived. You're rejecting the greatest power that was ever given. We've talked about the power there in verse number 12 to become the Son of God. You're saying no. You're like those people over in Acts chapter number 7 that you're resisting the Holy Ghost. And God wants to save you. And God's dealing with your heart. And God's saying, I love you so much, I gave my only son. And you say, no. No, I don't need that. I'm not ready for that. No, no, no. You're rejecting the greatest power ever. You're rejecting the greatest privilege ever known to man to become the sons of God. Could you think about, listen, what it would be like to be the son of a wealthy millionaire? Or the son or the daughter of a wealthy movie star or an athlete? Or how awesome you may think that may be. I can think of no greater honor. Listen, not a king in this world, not a president in this world, whatever compare with the great privilege to being a son of God. He made it all. He owns it all. He controls it all. But he allows you and I to become his son. And listen, Romans says over in Romans chapter 8 that we become heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Because he allows us to become his son, we have the privileges and the rights of the son. Oh, wow. The greatest privilege to be a son of God. You're rejecting the greatest provision that was ever given. Salvation. When you say no to Jesus, you're saying no to salvation. There's no listen, there is no salvation apart from Jesus. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must, that's an imperative, must be saved. There's no salvation apart from Jesus Christ. Forgiveness. There's many people today walking under the guilt and the condemnation. Listen, the only way you'll ever find forgiveness and have that slate wiped clean is to receive Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Now, speaking of Jesus Christ, without him shedding his blood, there is no remission. There's no forgiveness of your sin. There's no peace. You're rejecting the great provision of peace. You realize there's a lot of people singing peace on earth and mercy my, and they have no idea what peace means. They're crying today in the Middle East, peace, peace. And the Bible says, and there is no peace. And there will be no peace there until the Prince of Peace comes. And can I say, not only there, but in your life, there'll be no peace until the Prince of Peace is sitting on the throne of your heart. You reject Jesus Christ. You're rejecting the provision of salvation, the provision of forgiveness, the provision of peace, the provision of purpose. People living aimlessly, don't know what life's all about, poking, prodding, trying, drinking, doping, this, looking for everything they can, looking for hope, looking for a reason for living, until they get to the point, many of them, that they stick a gun to their head or drink a bottle of something with some pills and go out into eternity without Christ, when all they needed to do was receive Christ and they'd have purpose for living.
That's good preaching.
He was born of a virgin. He's rejected of men. He died on a cross to save us from sin. Jesus of Nazareth, his home here on earth, he ascended to heaven. He now offers us new birth. Simply receive him by faith today. Look unto Jesus. He is the only way. Will you receive him today? Or will you make the greatest mistake and reject him? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. The pianist is playing softly. Hymn of invitation, just as I am without one plea. As she begins to play, I'm asking everybody to stand quietly to your feet. No one moving around, please. If you can stand, if you can't stand, you stay seated. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I'm asking this question this morning. Do you know the Christ of Christmas? Do you know Jesus Christ personally as your Lord and Savior? Has there ever been a time and place where you received him and you received him as your Savior? And he saved your soul. Say, preacher, no doubt about it. I want to raise my hand and testify. There's been a time. There's been a place. I know that I know that I know. I'm raising my hand in testimony. Amen. Hands going up everywhere. But there's some that couldn't go up. You can put your hands down. Let me ask the second question. Say, preacher, there's never been a time that I know of. There's never been a place when I personally received Jesus Christ by faith. Preacher, would you pray for me? I've never been saved. Preacher, I need to be saved. I see that hand. Preacher, pray for me. Just slip it up, let it right back down. Nobody's going to point you out. Nobody's going to pull you down. Don't want to...